Welcome back to the Pondercast. We're so glad you joined us again today. Please again subscribe, share with your friends, and let's begin this pondering today. Part of pastorsponderings.org. Again, subscribe, join us, and please leave your comments and feedback and questions, because that's part of what we do here. We explore, we discover our way home again. Today we're going to be talking about the spiritual discipline of prayer and solitude. And as we look at this topic today, I want us to think about how that fits into our lives, how that works in yours. I think we have something to offer each other, because our experiences and how this works, it varies from person to person. And so, as we've done before, I relish your conversation, your comments, and how it works for you. Today, we're going to explore some others who've had this journey as well with us, in the regards of prayer life as well as the spiritual discipline of solitude. First of all, I think we have to define what prayer looks like, what it is. And to help us maybe gauge that, Evelyn Underhill, she was a Christian mystic from 1875, was when she was born, to she passed away in 1941. She writes this about prayer. Prayer then begins by an intellectual adjustment, by thinking of God earnestly and humbly to the exclusion of other objects of thought, by deliberately surrounding or surrendering the mind to spiritual things, by preparing the consciousness for the inflow of new life. But having thought of God, the self, if it stops there, is no more in touch with God than it was before. We may think as long as we like, but nothing happens. Thought, unhelped by feeling, ever remains apart from its object. The intellect is an essentially static thing. We cannot think our way along the royal road, which leads to heaven. So, you know, not just meditation alone, not just thinking about it, but we have to get into the right mind frame when we consider prayer, true prayer, not just us talking, but us listening to God as well. Another person who I think sums up this topic of prayer as well is Agnes Sanford. And Agnes Sanford was kind of a contemporary as well. She lived from 1897 to 1982. And she writes this, four simple steps into prayer. The first step is in seeking to produce results by any power is to contact that power. The first step then is seeking help from God is to contact God. And it says, be still and know that I am God. Let us then lay aside our worries and cares, quiet our minds, and concentrate upon the reality of God. We may not know who God is or what God is, but we know that there is something that sustains this universe, and that something is not ourselves. So the first step is to relax and to remind ourselves that there is a source of life outside of ourselves. And I think that summarized pretty well for you and me, that there is life outside of you and me. God is real, even if we don't exactly know what God looks like. Our conversations with Him are heard. They don't go unanswered. And prayer is more than just pleading and asking God for stuff. Prayer is a constant conversation with Him. And I believe the reason David was a man after God's own heart, because he was able to communicate with God. He was able to talk to Him. And it wasn't just on the big things, but the little things as well. He spent time with his Creator. And I gotta wonder, in the grand scheme of things, how I line up with that. Do I spend time with Him as much as I should? Or do I rob God and rob myself of that encounter? Something to think about this morning. And I want to read a poem. A poem by St. John of the Cross. It's a sacred poem, if you will. And it's entitled, The Dark Knight. No, not Batman. But the poem is called The Dark Knight. One dark night, fired with love's urgent longings. Ah, the sheer grace. I went out unseen, my house being filled, now stilled. In darkness and secure, by the secret ladder disguised, ah, the sheer grace. In darkness and concealment, my house being now all stilled. Oh, that glad night in secret, for no one saw me, nor did I look at anything. With no other light or guide than the one that burned in my heart. This guided me more surely than the light of noon, to where he was awaiting me, him I knew so well. There in a place where no one appeared. O guiding night, O night more lovely than the dawn. O night that was united. The lover with his beloved, transforming the beloved into his lover. Upon my flowering breast, which I kept wholly for him alone, there he lay sleeping, and I caressed him. There in a breeze from the fanning cedars, when the breeze blew from the turret, as I parted his hair, it wounded my neck with its gentle hand, suspending all my senses. I abandoned myself and forgot myself, lying my face upon my beloved. All things ceased. I went out from myself, leaving my cares, leaving my cares forgotten among the lilies. And in a very real sense, St. John of the Cross captures for us that relationship with God. that he is one who cares for us, that loves us. Do you and I have that kind of meditative relationship with God? That he is literally the very next breath from our lungs. That we can sit in silence as long as we have the Almighty present with us. Now, in our world today, silence, solitude is one of those very hard things to capture. But I believe that the spiritual discipline of prayer is closely linked to the spiritual discipline of solitude. And in a very distracting world around us, where silence is so hard to come by, do we actually take the time to seek it out? Do we seek out those private Sabbath times where we can just sit in the presence of God and say nothing, just to know that he's with us? I don't mean do nothing, because surely in the presence of God, we listen. In the presence of God, we soak up the essence of who he is. I want to read another poem. A poem that captures my heart. I love writing poetry. This is one of my prayers. And I, in full disclosure, want to pray this with you and me today. So here it is. It's yet untitled, but I believe it doesn't even need a title, because in silence and solitude, God knows us. He knows us intimately. My heart is for you alone. Where can I possibly go? Where can I run? This world is yours. The universe is yours. Spoken into being. Spark of life ignited. Shed from darkness, blessed into light. Ha, not by might or ingenuity of men, not by intelligences and arrogant thought, but by you brought us. You brought us out of nothing. You whispered into our nothingness and jump-started life. Oh Lord, this heart is more than yours, because you fitted it into my chest. You breathed into these lungs even before I even began. Each cell of my body exploded into life, catapulted from dormancy to constancy, from envisioned to reality. Oh Lord, speak to me. Look at me from my very existence. My reason to be is you. And I think really, today, you and me, this life is more than just selfishness, isn't it? This life ought to be more than what I can get out of it. But perhaps it's about what I can give. Perhaps it's about whose we are, not who we are. So as we contemplate our lives today, as we perhaps explore prayer in a newfound light, as we look at solitude, I want to encourage each person here listening to the Pondercast today that prayer is more than just us asking God for stuff. Get alone with Him. Get alone in His presence and seek Him out. He will be found. He will find you. Open your heart and allow Him to hear you today. Allow yourself, more importantly, to hear Him. You are His creation. You are a son and daughter of the Most High. How does that make you feel? God bless you today. And that concludes another Pondercast. Thank you again for tuning in. And another one down. Again, please subscribe to this Pondercast. Join us in the future. God bless you. Have a great week.